property have a 25-foot deep undisturbed buffer along the northern, western, and southern property lines.
And that would...
It's right here, number one.
And that is something that we could lay on the person that buys it.
That's correct.
Not the current owner.
Right. Before Ed would approve the building permit for the apartment complex, the developer would have to show a set of plans that shows the 25-foot undisturbed buffer.
Okay. But then we would have, and I don't this is going to sound worse than I want it to, but we would have no other control over the project beyond whatever conditions.
Why could we not have the concept plan have to be approved by the planning director?
There is no concept plan required for RMH.
Prior to the building permit being issued.
Well, when Ed might can run you through the process better than I can, but I mean they have the zoning requirements that they have to comply with, the set apart from the various buildings and the heights and all of that sort of thing. And so when the plan comes in, Ed's going to review the plan to make sure that it complies with the zoning requirements. But it's not a concept plan as we envision when you have a planned residential, you know, that has pictures of what it's going to look like and things like that.
There's no open space. There's no
correct
landscaping, or would there be landscaping?
They'll have to comply with the landscaping regulations.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
It's a gentleman that's been very patient, that's been waiting right here to speak.
What?
It's a gentleman that's
yes.
been.
Yes, sir, please. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Joe Kovacic. I live at 123 English Oak Lane in Grand Oaks. And I am probably the last pragmatist in the development. I'm frankly looking to cut my losses and do what's practical and what I think is right. Like everyone who's spoken ahead of me tonight, I'm disappointed that things didn't happen the way we had anticipated. I wish that they had. The only constant in life has changed, so it's time to move on. From my perspective, I'm looking at the RMH zoning and the apartment complex as not a bad thing. I have more skin in the game than the other folks do because my property is the only one that is contiguous to the parcels that we're rezoning. This is my house right here. Relative to up here, I'm right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the only property that is contiguous. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, on the other side of my backyard is the SCE&G gas pipeline. So from my perspective, I'm looking at these apartments the way it has been presented. First of all, they're a quality construction. You know, it's not something that is slapdash. The property will be sold. It will no longer be associated with Grand Oaks. It will be isolated. It will have a crash gate, so there is not going to be traffic trying to cut off the intersection of 19 and 118 by cutting through our subdivision, and that's very important to it. When we moved here, we were the second house to buy, or the second tenants to buy into Grand Oaks. We looked at the south side, and we made a conscious choice to move to the north side for a number of reasons. We like Aiken, Old Aiken, the city. We walk in town frequently. We buy from the local merchants. We like it there. And we made the decision that we liked it there because it had a character that the south side lacks. We had a dream that it was going to develop. That has not, unfortunately, happened because of, you know, the economic conditions. But what we're looking for is if you put a development such as this in, then all of a sudden you've got 300 to 600 people who are going to need services and are going to need businesses. That, together with a county complex, says that you're going to get temporary jobs from construction to build it, and you're going to get permanent jobs from businesses to support these people. So I look at the property on the north side of our development in phases 2 and 3, and 6 years later, nothing's happening. And by putting in these apartments, I think it can be a catalyst for the continued growth, not only of our area, but the north side in general. And I believe it was you, sir, who mentioned it, and I agree with you. We're RS6, 13,000 square feet. You can put two houses on those suckers. And there's nothing to say somebody isn't going to come in, because there's nothing constant but change. And take the second part, the western edge of what is now phase 2 and 3, and come in and re-parcel, redesign those, and you will get double density back there. I hope it doesn't happen, but I've hoped a lot of things that have happened. So, you know, you got to be a little more practical in life. So at this point, I'm ready to cut my losses. I am in support of this particular zoning, however, and there's a couple of things. The 25-foot setback, I do support the Planning Commission's recommendation for a very practical reason. Now, this is a concept drawing. But this little sucker right here on the bottom is a detention pond. My backyard faces it. I'm not particularly anxious to see, fending off a mosquito hatchery from my back porch. So I do, the 25 foot will push that further back from me. So it's practical. The other thing is, I would like very much to ask you to consider putting in another condition. And that is a buffer of a fencing on the north, west, and southern boundaries of the property for two reasons. One, it will keep the bleed-through traffic, because people like me who are on the fringe, we're going to end up being kind of a blurred property. You know, we're not going to be RMS6 and we're not going to be RMH, because people can walk through. So it preserves the integrity of the two zoning areas if we could have a solid fence. The same thing applies as to the north side of the property that is being considered for RMH. There are residents and properties over there that are contiguous with that, and it would keep them from having their property walk through as well. We've talked about the crash gate. I think that was also recommended by the Planning Commission, and I say absolutely because, as I say, it stops through traffic. There's been one constant theme on not only our particular application tonight, but by the one that took 2.5 hours ahead of us, and that is there's a need for development. And we have to consider very carefully when we turn our backs on development. We all have our own special interests. I understand that. I respect that. But on the other hand, you know, as I said, sometimes it's time to cut your losses. I do support this RMH rezoning. Any questions?
Joseph, you mentioned the buffer. I'm looking at the conditions, which has a buffer on the north, western, and southern properties.
Of 25 feet?
Yes.
I would like to see that with upheld.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's here. So if we approve this and adopt these changes, it's there.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure that was the right area that you were talking about.
It is, and the reason that I readdressed it, if you will, is Mr. Curl said that it might be present a problem to the prospective buyer of the property if he had to give up that much buffer space. Now, I'm willing to, you know, say the western edge, you know, right now that would be undeveloped property. That could go back to, I think, the standard is 10 feet. But I would think for the north side, which there are residents up there, and me and residents on my side, that the 25, and the 25 particularly on the south side because of that detention pond. Mm-hmm. That detention pond is there simply because water seeks its own level. It's the lowest part of that piece of property. So the water is just going to naturally run there. I don't think it's practical for me to say put it someplace else. So I got to live with that. But if you put 25 feet from the edge of the easement, that puts it 25 feet further away from my house. And that's, I'm a realist. I'll take what I can get.
Very good. Any questions?
I got one question. It has nothing to do with, but there's a projected new road on one of our charts here. Is that still a fact? Because that, in fact, would actually impact, it would be between your property and the detention pond.
One of them is a projected road that literally runs over the pipeline. I don't know how practical that is, but that's what they put in as a possible projected road.
I was just wondering how current that is. I mean, is it projected?
It's part of the north side transportation plan. So it is current.
It is current.
If they do that, then I want a 30-foot barrier so I don't have to see the traffic.
Now, along with the buffer, which is my understanding that there would be northern would be 25 feet, western would be 10, and southern would be 25 foot deep. You would also like to see a fence.
I would like to see a fence on the north, west, and south. Again, you know, to preserve the integrity of the zones, because you know, I'm going to have apartment people who, you know, don't have a backyard. They would be using my backyard. Thank you very much. I really like that to happen.
Well, as a gated community, you'd have to have a fence to separate you from the. Multiple housing.
There is no fencing permitted in Grand Oaks. So if there's going to be fencing, it would have to be on this property as it was sold, as a condition of sale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I can't put up a fence. None of us can put up a fence. Not permitted in the covenant.
Say you have a gated community. How do you enforce the gate, so to speak?
The gated community is a figment.
Oh, okay.
You got a front gate. Walk around the gate. And you can.
Okay.
If thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could get one of the property owners back up,
mm-hmm. Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I ask one question for my clarification?
Yes, sir. Certainly may.
Mr. Mayor, my question is this. Relative to the policy that was adopted by the City Council in 2006, mm-hmm. October 23rd, and the fact that you can use 4 acres of property for residential purposes. If the developer from Lawrence are successful in purchasing 18.8 acres, and I've heard that for those 4 acres, it would be reserved to put 12 units on each acre.
Mm-hmm.
That would give you 48 units.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, with the additional 14 acres, how would that be utilized? And I don't know whether CSA are going to answer that, or whether the City Council members are going to answer that.
All right.
But that would be my concern. How would it be utilized?
Okay.
It's not that I understand the question.
Yeah. It's not just 4 acres, it's the whole 18-acre tract.
It's the entire 18 acres.
Yeah, not just four. Four is the trigger, but this is actually the 18-acre tract.
I know he's going to purchase 18.8 acres.
Right.
But I heard that from that policy, you can only utilize 4 acres.
No, sir, that's not correct, Mr. Wright. The 4 acres just triggers the policy being applicable to the situation.
Have to have 4 acres or more.
Yeah. Four acres or more.
The 18 applies.
18
applies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr.
Mayor,
I
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wright, just wondering, based on what the discussion was evoked a few minutes ago regarding 25-foot buffer, a fence, an actual fence to protect you from the apartments, proposed apartments that would go back in the back of you. What is your thought with that, knowing that your area where you all live is protected?
My thought is that I would like for a fence to be erected between my property
and those apartments, right.
And the reason for that is that the end of my property come right up to the parking lot of the apartments.
Okay. Okay.
When we first moved in, we actually used the stake that the builders put there, mm-hmm. and we have already staked it off. So I'm just about maybe 6 or 8 feet from the apartment's parking lot.
Okay.
So I would like for a fence to be erected. Thank you.
Now, my question is, number one is, if you know, you've heard what the issues have been, that the buffer along the northern and southern property would be 25 foot and 10 foot on the western side, and that there would be a fence on the north, west, and southern side. And then also looking at where the detention pond is, if there would be any other place on this property that he could put it further away from the Grand Oaks subdivision.
This was just a layout that they did, but I will tell you that the reason that it's at this particular corner, there's two reasons he put it there. One is this detention pond would actually need to gravity flow farther down to tie into a storm drainage system. So it would need to be on this end of the property so that it could gravity flow to the storm drainage system. And the other reason that I think that they put it there was in their minds, and because I went over there and talked to them when they were doing this layout, realizing that that was the only part of the property that was adjacent to one of the residents in Grand Oaks, and thinking and it is a detention pond, not a retention pond, and there is a difference. A detention pond only holds water for a very short period of time. I know there was a mention of a mosquito.
Retention.
Yeah. It holds water until it gravity flows out to a storm drainage system, so it doesn't hold water as in standing water in a pond. It's just a gathering point for water in a quick downpour, but it does get out of there typically within 24 hours. So it's not something that would, and in their mind, that was creating a buffer from the subdivision to put it in that location, and it allowed to gravity flow. The only other thing I would mention, and pertaining to the 25-foot, here again, I can't tell you what the people that have given us the letter of commitment will say to the conditions. I would certainly, you know, encourage them to work with us and do this. But you can see right here that the gas line is in the center of this easement at this point, where it's adjacent to the homes in Grand Oaks. But when it gets to right here, it's actually on the outside perimeter of the property line. So there's that's 30 feet is that gas line easement. So there's already a total of 30 feet for the gas line. And to put an additional 25 feet, you would be talking about 55 feet from the property line of vacant land. And I would almost think that would be more than a nuisance than a buffer. I think that's too much. I mean, a buffer can serve a good purpose, but when you go to 55 feet, that's the depth of some, or the width of some whole lots. So I think that would be somewhat extreme to put that kind of a buffer in addition to the 30-foot right-of-way that's there for the gas line. Because the gas line is on the outside
property line. So they're not getting the benefit of it being in the center where it would only be 15 feet. They're having to absorb the whole 30 feet. I don't know if that made sense. But.
Now, could you flip that chart just to sideways?
I'm sorry. Somehow.
Well, right next to the detention pond, there's a road that ends up against the fence. Is that where the crash gate is?
Or? That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Just want to ask Mr. Thompson. I think it's Mr. Thompson. Is that right?
Capacity.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I have a question to ask you. That's why I wanted you to come forward. Based on what has been discussed with you.
I'm a little hard of hearing.
That's all right. The discussion has taken place with the buffer that's there, installing a fence, making the area that you're in, Grand Oaks, a central, private, secluded development. And beyond that fence would be where the apartment is being proposed to take place. Could you live with that?
I guess, and I'm not answering your question directly here, the change in zoning, if it is granted, will permit the sale of that property.
Right.
The new buyer will be the one who will do the developing.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I don't know that he is going to be bound in any way by Mr. Curl's promises. Now, I mean, if in the course of doing the zoning, you can put a stipulation that would carry over to the new owner. Maybe I could live with that, but it will. I keep hearing you say that that's not possible.
There are conditions that this is based upon, and he would have to meet these conditions in order for the rezoning to take place. He would have to agree to these conditions.
And it would be recorded in the deed office and on the public record. That's part of it. It would be on the public record.
So he would be bound by those conditions that we are currently discussing, the buffer, the fence, the storm gate. Those would be binding.
Wouldn't it be a lot? No. Is the sale of the 18 acres contingent on getting it rezoned?
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want to just buy it and then fight his own battle, so to speak?
Yes. he's way too smart for that.
Let me ask a question. If we were to pass this on first reading, there would be a second reading. In the meantime, before that second reading, could we get that owner here and talk to that owner?
The potential buyer.
The potential buyer. So that there's no misunderstanding about what's in whatever the document is, the conditions that we spell out.
I think we could get a representative of Mr. Powers here. I can't tell you we could get Mr. Powers himself here, but
if we could get someone here that could say yes. See, I said early on this is a little loose to me, and it still is. Yeah. If we could get someone here that could say yes or no, and that we felt like we could depend on, and if council wants to prove it at all, and I'm not saying they do, we don't know yet, but if we did, at least I would feel better. I think we all would feel better if we could talk to the representative of the person who is going to buy it. And maybe you'd feel better about it knowing. Along with these buffers that we're talking about and the fence and the gate where the car can't come through your area, perhaps you'd feel a lot better about it at that point.
So that would mean that we would pass this on first reading until we hear from the owner, the potential owner of the property.
If you pass it on first reading, you would be back on February 13th, which would give an opportunity for the representative of the purported buyer to come in.
And to hear from him. Hmm. Right now, we're only speculating. We're thinking that he's going to do these things, yeah. Not knowing.
Yeah, but let's remember clearly that we're being asked to waive our policy of requiring PC or PR designations for large annexations that was put in for a reason.
Right.
And with all due respect, I'm hearing a developer who doesn't want to come to Aiken and comply with our city policy, which is not unrealistic. I mean, I understand the requirement that he would have to spend money to get approval, but I don't know of any planned residential or planned concept that we've disapproved. I mean, if we're both acting in good faith, I think that would reassure me that the concerns of the residents are adequately addressed and more controlled than simply approving the rezoning for someone that we have not met.
Right.
We don't know, and I'm sure he's a good developer. The picture is a nice looking project, but I'd feel more comfortable staying with our city policy and working with the person, assuming he wants to develop it the way we want to deal with large parcels.
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah,
we're great. That's is exactly what we're currently doing. I mean, we're asking for a representative from the other side to come in and agree to these conditions, which is pretty much the same thing that you would have.
Well, I mean, it isn't in the sense that
it is.
If we approve it, if we approve this as it is, then we're waiving our city policy that large pieces of property that are annexed be dealt with in a P.
We're waiving our preference, but the thing that you've got to go back and look at is that preference or policy, however you want to look at it, was put in place back in August of 2006.
Yes.
We were under a totally different economy then than we are today. Building was rampant within the city. Everywhere you looked, there was construction going on. That's not happening today.
But in this particular case, this policy provides more protection for the residents that are adversely impacted, potentially adversely impacted, with this project.
It, with the conditions in place, it's not going to offer any more protection to the residents.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Did we want to entertain a motion?
Yes, ma'am. You haven't spoken yet. We want to hear from you.
Well, my that's the other half here.
Spoke and I wasn't going to. I need to put this map back up. Does it go here?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Here you go. Okay, this is.
It's cockeyed. It's straight from you, but it's cockeyed up there. It's
like that?
Yeah.
Okay. This is where the plan. Uh-oh.
Touch the button.
The button that was touched.
Hey, Bill, you got extra copies.
Mr. Beanbow can bring that up, ma'am, if you just let him.
I can see Bill sitting there.
Put it up at the top, Stuart, if you will.
You got me. Now we need to turn it. Thank you.
You know, we didn't have these late meetings to push it off.
Okay, this is where the proposed is going to go through here.
That's my gate there.
Right, a gate there. And this has taken almost half of this property that was going to be part of our community.
18.
When they develop this part, how are they going to get out of there? Originally, there was going to be another exit to 19 from our development when this was all developed. But are they going to then come out all the way out through Grand Oaks? They're going to have to.
No, they'll go out on the highway, out that way.
They're going to have to come out through here, right through our phase one then.
Why?
All of the traffic.
Why?
And originally, there was going to be another entrance over on 19.
Yes.
But now it's not.
Well,
for our community, for the redeveloped part.
There's other access in the undeveloped land on the 118 bypass for that remaining track.
No, it's not.
According to the documents that we have in the agenda pack.
We've asked about having that for the condos, and they didn't acquire the land.
So
that would be a concern. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But there is other access shown.
Where is that other access?
Do we have a picture of it?
Because we've asked about having condos that are now rentals blocked off and another entranceway put in, but we were told that couldn't do that.
Hmm. But the owners would have to speak to that.
Good.
Are you okay?
So you understand what I'm saying?
I guess that's another reason that we need to talk with the owners. I don't know that, John, can you speak to that?
To the other access?
Yes.
For the
land that's
for the remainder of the 44 acres.
The remainder of the
track.
Land, I mean, it was laid out in such a way that this is the primary access. Mm-hmm. And always has been the primary access. That's where it's gated there. This had planned to be a secondary access. When we divide this off, mm-hmm. there will be a crash gate that would give emergency access to either the subdivision or the apartments if there needed to be an emergency access.
But this rest that's going to be, you say you're going to develop.
That's correct.
How are they going to get out onto
through what's always been planned to be the primary access. They would go through the gate.
But we were supposed to have two entrances and exits. One on 118 and one on 19. That's right. What we were told.
Right.
But that's not going to happen.
No.
So all of these are going to have to come out through this one little street.
That is correct.
I think also there's a limit on 3,000 feet. Otherwise, there has to be an exception made for entrance of the firefighting and safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's still in the city code, Mr. Edwards. Evans can answer. Isn't it 3,000 feet maximum dips?
1,000.
Well, they definitely would. Once you take the other exit out, you definitely lose that 1,000 feet.
But we have the other exit. We have the exit is still there for an emergency exit. It meets the requirements for fire code. It's a knockdown gate that meets the requirement for fire code. There will be two entrances and exits for emergency purposes, mm-hmm. just a gate in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So every time public safety shows up in one of our new Dodges, you're going to run through the gate. There ain't no way, Jose.
Well, they call it a knockdown gate. There's multiple methods for the gate. A lot of times you have a sensor, or you have a code, but the gate is actually an automated gate is what it is that the emergency vehicles have access mm-hmm. to.
John, take your pen, please, and use it on that rather than your hand. I have a hard time with the hands up there seeing exactly everything. Where is that entrance going off to the to 19?
The entrance to number 19 is right here.
Okay. All right. Now, talking about what we're doing now, how are the folks down in the yellow section going to be able to get out that way?
Through.
It doesn't look like it.
No. It will not be just opened so they can get out to number 19. No, that will be accessible to emergency vehicles only to get through
okay.
from up here to down here. The people in the yellow section as well as the remaining land, I'll just kind of draw the line of what...
Okay.
Dividing it right there. That gate essentially would be right there, and it would open and close. But This part, when developed, would still, this has always been planned to be the primary access to the subdivision. That's where the big name is and the gate is, and that's the primary access to the subdivision.
Right.
And it's always been planned that way. This was going to be the secondary access to the subdivision. There will still be an emergency secondary access, which would be through this gate, as well as an emergency secondary access for should the apartment folks need a secondary, which is required. I think the 1,000-foot requirement is also on the apartment.
Okay,
folks.
So everyone on this side, I can't
the
show
yellow.
It. Everyone on the, you see your line you wrote?
Right.
Everyone on the left comes out
to University
there.
Parkway.
Okay. So that's most of the people that would ever...
And that's where they're coming out now. That's where all of these folks come in and out, and it would just be where the additional folks that were added when the next phase of the subdivision
right.
would
okay.
come in and out.
I just wanted to make sure I understood. And
in the past, Mr. Mayor, there's always been an exception made to the depth of these streets going in and out of the neighborhoods. In most cases, it's a direct route, and I can point to a number of them that we have done in my time here in the last 6 years, even though I've been on council. So there's some other idiosyncrasies here that would have to be taken place to make this happen. And direct route is one of them.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think about the idea? So maybe we can do something here. We pass this on first reading. We still have second reading. Whether or not we want to pass it on second reading would depend on a lot of things, but talking to the representative or the potential owner, whichever.
Right.
It'd be nice to talk to him, I think, if we could, about this. And then we can ask questions and anything we need to do in the meantime, we can be, you know, working on.
I just need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make the motion that we pass this on first reading with the conditions in which we had already discussed.
Right.
Which was the fencing and the buffer, and also looking forward to the developer builder coming in at the next meeting and answering questions more directly with us.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm not sure if the property owners need to look into what Councilman Ebner was talking about as far as direct access or whatever. I'm sure the safety code is being met.
You'll have to even do something on the 18 acres.
That would be my motion.
Okay. Well, that will get us started on something. Do we have a second? I'll second. Okay, any discussion?
Yeah, I'm not going to support it without assurance that the developer would comply with our policy for annexation of large parcels. So, and I get the indication that that's not acceptable to the developer,
unless he agrees to the new owner.
Unless he agrees to follow our policy where it's planned residential, planned commercial, in accordance with our current city policy.
Okay, well, that's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to go go back to that.
Well, but we've already been told that the person who's going to buy it is not willing to do that.
Well, not willing to do that. Okay.
Well, I got a question. If we keep it planned residential, can you build multi-family, you know, three-story buildings and so forth?
Yeah, we just made that amendment to the zoning ordinance last couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the advantage of it of a large parcel like that is we have total control and address a lot of these issues that we're talking about.
So the only thing we're really talking about is whether we get a final, you know, chop on it before it actually gets executed. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Before the building.
And
before the building starts.
And talk to a representative at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're
get a representative here.
We're discussing planned residential, but the request from the homeowners is that the current property is shown as RS6. The request is to have it remain, all the properties remain RS6.
Mm-hmm.
That is what our policy.
The policy is that it be planned residential.
That's right. because of the largeness of it.
Policy is to change anything that goes grand residential.
If there's a request to change it.
Anything move forward.
And that's the reason the Planning Commission rejected it.
That is the reason they rejected it.
Recommended that it be rejected.
Absolutely.
That's right. 4-3. You need a vote.
Okay. Any more discussion? How do you feel about that?
What exactly are... Could somebody restate what we're going
to
vote on?
The motion is to pass on first reading the ordinance to approve rezoning to residential multifamily with the conditions that were stated and on the condition that the proposed buyer or his agent come back on February 13th. To answer
my motion would have been for us to table the whole issue until we talk to the developer face-to-face, but there's a motion
well,
already.
It's the same effect, though. If you pass it on first reading, that doesn't make it binding. It wouldn't pass on second reading until you have that presentation.
Well, my concern is you said rezoning it conditionally to RMH as opposed to Mr. Dewar said PR, right?
Yeah, on page 111 is the policy of the
right,
city.
Nothing in your vote on first reading prevents you from doing that at the second reading on February
13th. Yeah, but, see, I'm confused. What you say we're going to vote on it on the first reading with the potential of it going to a residential multi...
family. That's the current motion that's before council.
That's what the motion. That's what the motion is.
That's
not
right.
What you recommended, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's why I won't support the motion.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's talk about that in a minute, if we can. What can we do with the planned residential that we can't? What can we do with this other zoning that we can't do with the planned residential? I think that's what you may
have
asked.
Yes. Well, we talked about it earlier. It's my understanding that if we approve the zoning, then the developer deals with the planning department and gets the permits and complies with all of the rules.
And I agree with that, and I think that's the way to go, really.
Regulations, whereas if it's a planned residential or planned commercial, whichever one is...
It would be planned residential.
Yeah, planned residential, then we look at the concept plan and we're able to address a lot of the issues that the residents are concerned about. The fence, the buffer, this and that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's under our total control.
Absolutely, and I understand that. I like that. And, John, what did you say about why you couldn't accept that? Or did you say that at this point?
Honestly, you know, I'm not saying this to say anything bad about the planning department, Aiken, but we were told that we could apply for the multifamily. And the primary reason was the density. We needed 16 units per acre. And that's just kind of their, what they use. And I mean, that's in their best practices, and it's 16 units per acre.
Okay.
And reading the ordinance for the zoning for that multifamily zoning classification, they weren't looking for any exceptions. They weren't looking for any exclusions, or they didn't want to make any special changes. So the reason we did it, applied that way, it seemed like it would be the simplest way to do it. We weren't looking for like a PUD-like exception where they were going to do something out of the ordinary. They don't want to do anything out of the ordinary. And it's within, we were told it was within city council's authority not to, it was...
Yep. And it is.
A guideline that you use to use the planned residential, but it's not a requirement. Otherwise, the other zoning classifications wouldn't even exist. There would be no need to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're asking is that it be zoned for the use that they're going to use it for. But I think that the conditions that are on here would be acceptable. I feel like we can get a representative from Powers Properties to come to Aiken and talk to you. And I feel like you would be very, you know, most people are thrilled to have them as a part of their community. I mean, they're a huge community asset. I know they are the primary sponsors of the Mayfly in Florence, and they've sponsored several big events, the Sun Festival at the beach. And I mean, they're They are a huge community advocacy organization, so they do a lot of positive things.
Well, what is it you cannot do if it's PR versus the multi-family?
Well, the thing that I can't do is I can't provide you with... See, the problem, the dilemma I'm in as the owner, I've got someone that wants to purchase the property to use it for multifamily purposes. And PR requires conceptual plans. I can't provide any conceptual plans because I'm not doing anything but trying to sell it to someone that does want to utilize it for multifamily. They're the ones who will... And they will do everything, top of the line. They will do all of the traffic studies, all the environmental studies. They will do everything required to pacify the requirements of doing a nice multifamily community.
Well, let me ask you a question. If the area today were PR, would they just turn around and buy it and then work on a concept plan and come back to us?
No. I can't tell you. Their commitment to us, their letter of intent, states only very specifically that they will purchase the property if it's zoned for 16 units, a minimum of 16 units, multifamily residential use.
Can you do that if it's PR? Mm. That's the question.
All the plans, but see, that's just it. That's the dilemma. They're the ones that would have to provide all the plans.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to rezone it so they can utilize it.
That's a good question.
Okay.
I can't produce the plans.
It seems to me the question is, do we want to move forward on first reading and get him here, someone here, to talk to about this? And then we make the decision what we want to do. Either we want to go ahead with the second reading or we don't. Or we just want to hold out for the PR and it won't be developed at this point.
Would it help if I call for the question?
Since it's 12:45, yes, it would help.
Thank you for calling for the question.
Okay.
We call for the question.
Everybody, okay, call for the question. All right.
So that
Reggie likes that call for the question thing.
I never heard about it until he showed up.
Oh, well, he never has happened, has it? Okay.
Just a point, okay. If you could make sure the city manager doesn't put it on the agenda until we get
Mr. Turner. Call for the question. That means
very qualified. He won't do that. Okay, show of hands, please. All in favor of...
You already voted on calling the question.
Yeah, we did, but he was still talking, and I wanted the question to come up.
Okay.
All right, so now you're voting on the ordinance.
We're going to vote on the ordinance.
First reading of the ordinance.
First reading of the ordinance.
Passing it forward to get it to the...
Okay, all in favor.
All we're doing is voting for to get to a second reading. It is not a firm vote.
All right. It looks like it was 4-3.
4-3.
Yeah. Is that right?
Against?
Yeah, against 3, okay. 4-3 to move ahead and get this gentleman, whoever, a lady, whoever it may be, come here. With the understanding now that we may not go that way.
Right.
I mean, we want to hear from them, and we want them to hear from us and our citizen about it.
Okay.
That sound fair?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I surely appreciate all of your diligence and patience and staying this late. I know it's late.
Okay.
We're not done yet.
We're not done. That's right. We're not finished yet.
One more.
Two more.
Okay. Number 3, resolution to approve Shiloh Springs Water Treatment Plant Corrective Action Plan.
Mayor, the title of the resolution is a resolution to approve a proposed corrective action plan for the Shiloh Springs Water Treatment Plant. Council will recall in our issues and updates memo, we kept you posted about the readings at Shiloh. This is a water source the city's had for over a century. And with the drought of last summer, we had some readings over the maximum level. It's been up and down. Nevertheless, we entered into a consent order that are in the materials with DHEC for a corrective action plan to deal with the readings there. That was signed back in the fall of 2010. As a result of that, since the plan has been put into effect and we filed with DHEC, DHEC needs that corrective action plan to be approved. That's contained in the materials. There's a letter from the attorney who's representing us with Rogers Townsend. That plan was submitted on December 28th. The formality the DHEC needs is this resolution approving it. Just for council's information, we have learned from DHEC that the state revolving loan fund has potential money available, a forgivable loan, or the loan, which is 2.25% over 20 years. We would apply for that money to help defray the costs of the system that we would use, which is a green sand filtration system to get the radium out of the water supply and then blend that back in to get our readings within normal limits. So for approval tonight is the resolution to adopt that corrective action plan that's in your material.
Okay, do we have a motion second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the resolution to approve the proposed Charlotte Springs Water Treatment Plan corrective action plan.
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion?
Only one question on page 125 that I have up here for the city attorney. One thing I want to be sure, and I've had to deal with these in my dinosaur days. Now, once we, obviously during the summer when we're pumping a lot of water, it drops down to the requirement. I want to be sure that the consent order doesn't say we have to run this plant even though we don't need it. And a lot of the times they'll say you got to run it so many hours a day even though you don't need it. Can you check on that for me? In other words, I want to shut it off if I'm below the limit that's required.
Right. And we will clarify that with
clarify that
but our
for
understanding
me.
Is we have to blend the water to keep the readings below the 5.0. So if they're already below 5.0, it makes no sense to have to run the plant.
These
but
guys
we'll clarify.
These guys don't think that way.
I know. We'll clarify.
Okay. That's the only question I have.
On that?
You have not voted.
Okay, we have not. We've got a motion and second. All in favor? Okay.
Mr. Price is actually out of the room, I think.
Yeah. Approval of May meeting schedule?
The fourth meeting in May actually falls on the Memorial Day holiday, and the proposal is to meet one time in May. If we get jammed up on the agenda, we could certainly have a special meeting, but not to meet on Memorial
Day holiday.
Okay.
I second.
Second. Show of hands. Everybody approve? Let's see, that's
Chief, you picked a good meeting to come to. They're not all this late.
Can you turn
that was to have one meeting only in May because of Memorial Day. You approved that, so that was unanimous.
She had already sent me a text.
Tell her to the residents of Reynolds asking that we ride through there to see what has already been done.
Good idea. I haven't been through there in a long time. Okay, we are adjourned. I know it. Let's don't have another one like this.
Not in a beating till 1 o'clock.